now for something completely different.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Lazy Sloth RPG Podcast. As always, I'm your DM, Sloth, except for last month when it was Shira, but I'm back now. I've seized control again. Joining me this month, well, technically everybody, but for this portion of the session, I have Lyra.
Hello.
Corey, last name redacted.
Hey, that's me. Call me Mr. Redacted, please.
A new addition to the show, Wurtz.
That's Dr. Wurtz to you.
Dr. Wurtz. And Wisp.
Hi, I'm a problem.
So, yes, two of our members had to postpone tonight. One of them had tickets to a concert, and the other one forgot that it is a Jewish high holiday. I'll leave you to figure out which one was which. So this session is going to be a little experimental. In the first campaign, we did not record our session zero, but that's what we're doing this time. We'll see if it works, see if it enjoys it. If it doesn't work, well, then we won't do it again. And if you're not interested in listening to us talk about our new campaign and make characters, well, we will see you next month. Before we begin, though, Lyra, you have an advertisement you wanted to do?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so Wurtz, you're new here, so allow me to pick on you a little. Are you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Pick on me.
I have a question for you. Are you a shrimpy little weakling who just likes to nibble, or are you a cool rootin' tootin' cowboy who likes to snack?
Rootin' tootin' cowboy?
Well, then I have a snack for you. It is called Popcorn for the People. If any of you out there who are listening to this are like Wurtz and like to snack like a cool rootin' tootin' cowboy, I really want to swear right now, but I'm not going to because Corey bribed me. But anyways, Popcorn for the People is a nonprofit popcorn company, and they employ autistic adults and they are trying to solve the fact that 80% of disabled people are unemployed and helping people be independent, get off their feet, and make really good popcorn. So if you're interested in popcorn, definitely check them out. I have tried, I bought some today. It's very good. I had the dark chocolate espresso one, but they got a ton of flavors. And if you're not into popcorn, you can buy somebody a gift card and get them some popcorn.
Well, thank you for that, Lyra. So I'm going to talk now for a moment about our new campaign. In the meantime, while I'm doing this, I want everyone to get the character sheets ready, if you haven't already. And we're going to start by rolling attributes. Now, the games we are playing is Stars Without Number. I listened to a pronunciation of this, so it's by Sine Nomine. Lyra knows Latin better than I do. I don't know what that means, but...
Sine means without, and nomine means name.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's a system I enjoy a lot. I chose it because the combat is going to be a lot more simplified than our last campaign. I know Mutants and Masterminds, I love the setting and I love the series, but half of our sessions were combat. This game, combat's much faster. In fact, lower level characters can be killed by a single bullet, so our players need to be, at least for the first couple levels, be very cautious and pick their fights. There are two options for generating attributes in step one. You can either take an array, And that array is... Hold on, let me pull this up. Screwing up already, fantastic. 14, 12, 11, 10, 9, and 7, and you can assign those any way you wish. Or you can be a cool person and roll 3d6 in order. Don't worry, though, this is not as harsh as that would be in D&D. And if you choose to roll 3d6 in order, you can select one attribute and change that to a 14. So, while go ahead.
I think that's what we did when, like, because I remember we played a Stars Without Numbers game.
Correct.
I don't remember how I rolled, or how I did stats for that.
So, the general reason why that is not as harsh in this game compared to Dungeons & Dragons is that there are still modifiers, but it goes like this. A score of 3 to 7, or rather, a score of 3 is a minus 2, 4 to 7 is minus 1, 8 to 13 is plus 0, 14 to 17 is plus 1, and 18 is plus 2. There are no stats higher than 18. So, while you're all working on that and using whatever method you prefer, I'm going to talk about why more about this setting and these systems. So, this company made a bunch of games with the Without Number series. There's Stars Without Number, Cities Without Number, which is more of a cyberpunk setting, Worlds Without Number, which is more of a fantasy setting, but they are all compatible. So I'm allowing my players to choose and make classes from any of these games in this. And now I'm going to talk about the Stars Without Number setting a bit. If you have any questions, feel free to interrupt me during this process. So Stars Without Number, it is a space opera setting. It takes place in a galaxy where there was once a great human empire that spanned many star systems and a large portion of the galaxy called the Terran Mandate. They had vastly superior technology to most of the other races they encountered. They had warp gates, which could travel through wormholes from one planet to one side of the galaxy all the way to the other. They had transhumanism. They had technology that could make people immortal. They even had psychics. And psychics were quite common, in fact. And one day, there was an event called the Scream. The Scream set back all this progress dramatically, and completely tore apart the entire Terran Mandate. The Scream was a psychic emanation heard by all intelligent beings throughout the galaxy, and drove every psychic completely insane. These incredibly powerful psychics then went feral and just started murdering everyone in their sight. They were now powered by a near limitless supply of psychic energy and a madness that compelled them to destroy. And this happened on every planet throughout the galaxy, so for obvious reasons there was a cultural and societal collapse. Our series takes place a few hundred years after that. The Terran Mandate is rebuilding slowly, but they have nowhere near the influences they used to. Some planets that used to be controlled by the Mandate are returning. Others have declared their independence. Some of them have living standards of your typical, you know, sci-fi planet, you know, space travel, not quite as advanced as the pre-Scream technology, but still quite advanced. Others have been pushed all the way back to the Stone Age. Our players will be starting on a planet called Shar. It was on the far fringes of the Terrans' influence, and they did declare independence. They were so far, in fact, that they had very little contact with the Terran Mandate post the collapse for nearly 200 years. Now, how's everyone doing on their attributes right now?
I finished rolled mine.
Okay. Anybody want to discuss what they got? Any bright spots or major issues you're having with that?
I think Satan wants to send a message to me because I got 3 13s in a row.
Okay.
No, it'd be sixes. 13s are not Satan.
No, but one of the rolls I had was like the last two numbers were 6, and then the next one, the first number was a 6. Mm. Yeah. But I got a 13, 13, 13, 14, 16, and a 9.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah, Lyra's doing a lot better than me. I got a 12, a 13, a 9, a 9, a 12, and a 6.
Okay. Remember, you can replace one of your attributes with a 14. So if you really don't want that 6, you can make that a 14, which is an automatic plus 1 to your stat.
I'm replacing my 9 with the 14.
I'm replacing that 6 with a 14, weirdly enough.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to the next step. So once you've added in your attributes and added the modifiers to them, you're going to pick a background. So for Stars Without Number, that will be on page 11. I'm not doing, for the purposes of this portion of the character creation, I'm not doing Cities Without Number because I believe the only person who is playing a Cities Without Number character is Kirby, and he is not here at the moment. And conveniently enough, in Worlds Without Number, the backgrounds also begin on page 11. How about that? So I'm going to talk a little bit more about there where you're reading through the backgrounds. Again, if you have any questions, just kind of chime in. I'll talk about the char as it's structured now while you're working on that. So the planet Char was originally founded as an agricultural world that was meant to support other colonies that were being built in the region. However, that never came to pass as the Scream completely cut them off from the outside world. Char is a planet that has a very vibrant agricultural community, but there is one massive supercontinent that nearly everyone on Char lives on. At the center of this continent is the city known as the Great Tree. It was a city that was built around a space elevator meant to launch the crops up into space so that they could be distributed throughout the region to the other colonies. However, once again, that never happened. The city itself, the Great Tree, nearly half of all of the planet's population lives in this highly densely packed single megacity. Above the megacity in the sky is a space station that the leadership cast of the planet currently lives on. Post the Scream, the people who lived on the space station began spreading a belief on Char that the people who lived in space were not just people who happened to be in the right place at the right time, but were in fact divine beings called the Celestials. Beneath them, and they said they enforced a caste system based on where you happen to be living and when the Scream happened. The people who live in this at the basis level, the miners, the farmers, the people who no longer have access to the city, they're called the Roots. The people who live in the lower portions of the city, where people are very densely packed together, are called the Trunk. The people who live at the top level of the city, who enjoy the highest living standard on the planet itself, are called the Branches, and once again, those in space are called the Celestials. Everyone is expected to pay tributes upwards. Most of the people on the planet side will never have the opportunity to go into space, or indeed even raise their social caste, as this is considered highly taboo. Alright, so anyone got any interesting backgrounds that they'd like to play? And also, I know I discussed this with most of you, but you could also discuss what caste you've chosen to play in this game.
I ended up going Celestial, so I thought an appropriate background would be Noble.
Yes, certainly, that makes sense.
I'm bouncing in between Laborer and Peasant, because I will be playing from the Roots.
Or, for reasons that we will divulge later, I will also be going with Noble.
Alright. Wisp, anything you like so far?
Well, I kind of was going to play the character, or kind of a version of the character that I played last time we did Stars Without Numbers, because I really liked Zeke.
Cool.
So, it's Vagabond.
Alright.
But I guess class would technically be Trunk. Because he's like a former soldier?
Certainly that would make sense. So, now that you've chosen your background, the next step is... I'm going to just pull up that page. You have an option here. As you look at your backgrounds, there is... You get an automatic free skill. So, skills in this game... It's presumed if you don't have at least one rank in them, then you are completely untrained and you take a negative to all skill rolls. Your first level of it is not level 1, but level 0. So your free skill will take whatever your free skill is to 0. And then you have the option to either take quick skills, which are listed on there. You just automatically take those skills next to your character. Or they also come with these fancy little charts that you can roll right next to it. So you can see that there is a D6 chart, which can increase some of your stats. And there's a D8 chart, which will increase your skills. If you choose to roll, which is more fun in my opinion, then you can get three rolls, and you can split them up between these two charts any way you want. So two D6 rolls and a D8, or all D8, all three D8s, or all three D6s, and any way you wish. And if you do it this way, potentially you will get more skills, but it's random which ones you get. That's why you get more options.
And if the free skill is the same as a quick skill, it'd be a 1 instead of a 0?
I believe if you choose the quick skills, you get your free skill and then two other skills.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now I'm looking at the other ones kind of near mine. It's like that. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm okay with just the quick ones.
Okay, so I get the free skill, then I roll my D6 and D8 only once, right?
No, Corey. So you get three rolls. You can split them between those charts and those two charts any way you want. So you could roll all on one, or two on one and one on another, or all on the other. And if you'd like to play this game at home, you will need, apart from... Let me start off by saying that all three of these games, there is a free version of them that you can get on DriveThruRPG and various other RPG sites. So that's a great selling point. There is a deluxe version of each of them, which gives you additional rules you can use and does a lot of stuff to help out the DM, as well as they have more art. And some of this art's pretty cool looking. You will also need a D6, a D8, and a D20. D6s are used for pretty much every skill roll. D8s are used to determine initiative. And D20s are used for attack rolls. I also take this opportunity now to talk about some special rules that I'm adding to this game. First of all, for expediency's sake, and just to save time and make it easier on me for bookkeeping, we are going to be doing group initiative this campaign. Meaning, everyone on the team on both teams are going to roll. Whoever has the high roll... will determine that their team is going first. And then that player who rolled the highest, they go first, they will pass it on to another team member, so on and so forth, until everyone has taken their turn. Well, that makes sense?
Yes.
The other homebrew rule that we're doing is sort of an adaptation of the previous campaign's homebrew rule. If our players go all of our players go an entire session without swearing, then you will get one free reroll the following next session.
This is where I'm the problem.
Yeah, you and Shira and Lyra and June sometimes. Kirby's a good boy, though.
So is Wirtz. Wirtz is a pretty good boy.
We'll see.
I swear a decent amount, but I'm usually pretty good about it because of work.
Oh, yeah? Prove it. Do it right now.
You can't tell me what to do.
I don't want to hear words swear. It's going to shatter the illusion.
So I'm curious. Who did anyone choose quick skills? Or did everyone try and roll?
I tried.
I did quick. Just because it's skills that I would have picked anyway.
Okay.
Actually, I have a question about rolling. I rolled the same thing twice. Do I get that twice? Like on the D8, I rolled two sixes.
Okay. Yes, you get it. However, at the first level, a skill cannot be higher than 1. So if that would have taken your skill to higher than 1, then you can then instead invest that point in any skill you want.
So, when it says, like, plus 2 mental,
So, plus 2 mental, you choose one of your mental attributes. These are the same attributes, for those of you at home, as D&D. So in this case, your attributes are strength, dexterity, constitution, wisdom, intelligence, charisma. So you said it was +2 mental?
Mm-hmm.
So choose one of your mental attributes and raise it by 2.
Oh, that's handy.
Permanently, yeah. This is one of the ways you can get to an 18 at the first level, if it potentially. Depending on what
I'm
else
there.
You're on. You got it?
Yeah, I got the +2 too. So I rolled twice on the D6 and I got +2 to mental and +2 to physical.
Not bad, not bad. What are you putting it in?
I don't know yet. I forget what the attribute is for what my class is going to do.
It's a great segue, Lyra. Because the next step is to choose your class. So, in Stars Without Number, we have 4 classes to choose from. We have Warrior. They're a very simple class, but they have a lot of health. They're very good at attacking things, and once per scene, they can turn a hit into a miss or a miss into a hit. We have Expert. They get more skills, and they get occasionally they get to add extra dice to their skill rolls. There is the Psychic. They're psychics. They get a lot of cool powers. They can be built in a bunch of different ways, so it really depends on what you can do with them. Then there's Adventurer. An Adventurer is sort of like I choose 2 half versions of one of those 3 classes that I mentioned. That's Stars Without Number. In Worlds Without Number, they have Warrior again, Expert again, but they have Mages again. Mages are... they're kind of like psychics, but they're much weaker, and they have a lot more variety of powers than them. So they are stronger casters theoretically, but they are super, super squishy. If in the event that you are playing a caster, which I know some of you are, do not go solo anywhere. You will die. More than any other class, you are reliant on your team members to make up for your deficiencies. For example,
squishy little babies.
Yes. So I know I've discussed this with some of you, but, you know, what classes are we thinking of playing?
I'm going to be a psychic.
Or he's going to be a psychic.
I'm going to be a adventurer psychic warrior.
Cool, cool, cool.
Mage. I'm the squishy.
Pure mage, okay. Well.
You don't say it like that.
What? Like what?
Like, ew. Well, I don't like pure mage.
Full mage?
Yeah, Shrug? That's better.
I don't know what the problem with pure is.
No, you said pure squishy.
Okay. So, what mage type were you considering playing, Lyra?
Necromancer.
Necromancer.
Oh, and audience, Sloth was not lying when he said mages. Oh, he didn't say mages are squishy. He essentially said that, but that's a paraphrase of what he said. Your hit dice at level 1 is 1d6 minus 1. And that minus modifier grows as you level.
Yeah. But, you know.
It's okay. I'll have the constitution to back myself up. I got good rolls.
So I'm gonna just scooch on down to Necromancer, which is on page 82.
Yay.
Because the mages are a bit more complex than the other classes, so. So all necromancers gain magic as a bonus skill, acquiring it at level 0 or level 1 if they were already at level 0.
Are we starting at level 1 or 0?
We are starting at level... well, character level, there is no level 0. We are starting at level 1.
Okay.
Skills start at level 0 when you invest the first point. So at this level... Lyra, you can gain 1 art, which you will find in the next... 3 spells you can prepare a day. And one spell you can cast per day. Yes, just one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Or is it?
No, you're correct. It says that you only get one spell cast a day, even though you have a choice of three that you've prepared. I know what I'm doing. Slot doesn't. I've played a necromancer before. Wow, good podcasting, everybody.
Indeed. So, does everyone understand their classes? Do you have any questions about the features of your class or any?
I have a question, not okay. For you, but for Wurtz and for Corey. I'm seeing some names pop up in our voice chat. Would you like to elaborate for the audience if that's not too forward of me?
I wish I could, but I can't read.
Oh, so did Wurtz type that in for you?
Yeah, I handed him my laptop and I was like, please, daddy? And he's all like, I always got you, bud.
So, yeah, so Corey was like, yeah, I'm playing a psychic. And then I'm like, I'm playing a partial psychic. And I was like, Corey, you want to be twins? So yeah, our characters are both twins.
Yeah. Not to each other, though, to other people. That's a joke, we're both twins.
So, the two of you are playing twins, you are both playing Celestials.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're also both playing Psychics. Now, in this setting, it's common that there is an Academy of Psychics that regulates and trains Psychics, as Psychic powers are very difficult to learn and how to master, and most people, if they were able to use psychic powers, if they had no instruction, they'd fry their brain. So it's not impossible that you could learn psychic powers outside of the Academy. In this particular setting on Shar, it's called the Order. So are the two of you Order psychics, or are you rogues?
I would say we're Order psychics.
Yeah.
Because we're like nobles and stuff, right? So
it'd be a little bit weird to be rogues and nobles at the same time.
Yeah. Unless you're saying I can be pirate royalty.
You can be a pirate, but I wouldn't advertise that. Because you know what happens to pirates?
They lose all
the rum. Scurvy.
They do get scurvy. They also get hung.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, it would probably not surprise the audience, because I spoke to Lyra about this earlier, that Lyra is planning on being a rogue.
Uh-huh.
Now, technically speaking, mages aren't psychics. However, for the purposes of this game, though I am allowing classes from other games, the Stars Without Number rule set takes precedent. Anytime there is any conflict with the rules, Stars Without Number always wins out. So, for the purposes of the setting, the mage is considered a unique type of psychic, but they are still psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And the Order doesn't know about me, so shush.
Well, no one knows about you. You're one of those. So it's, this is going to be explained a little bit more in detail, but it's actually considered extremely taboo for Celestials to land or walk on Shar itself. So it's unlikely you'd be found. Well, you'd be found by other members of the Roots, but Wisp, what class are you planning on playing?
Psychic Warrior.
Nice. Now, within psychics of this game, there are also 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different psychic types. Now, half psychics can only learn one psychic skill. Full psychics can learn as many as they want, as they can afford with skill points, so out of curiosity, what is everyone planning on using for their psychic skills?
I'm going to be precog.
I'm going to do teleportation.
Stop copying me!
Fight!
Also, I slightly lied. I'm also going to go down biopsionics as well, since I'm a pure psychic. Ah, you know what? I get it. I get it, Lyra. I know why you don't like it.
I don't see the problem.
It's weird.
Okay, well, up next, we're going to choose our foci. So foci is, they're sort of like, in Dungeons & Dragons, they're like feats. Or in Fallout, they're the perks. They're pretty similar to that. So everyone at the first level gets one free foci. If you chose to play as a warrior, you get additional foci. An expert, you get additional foci. I believe also, though, some of the partial warriors, and sorry, some of the partial adventurers also get... Let me just pull that up real quick. So yes, the partial warrior gets a free combat-specific focus. And the partial expert gets a free non-combat focus. What exactly is a combat or non-combat focus? Well, that's up to me, but you can usually tell by reading it. Psychics are the only one that do not get a focus. An additional focus. Like the full psychic, that is. Even our lowly root mage gets an extra focus. Sorry, Corey.
Yeah, but I got a really good focus.
And you know what? Corey can't read, so that's less reading he has to do.
Exactly. I just guess a lot, and less guessing I have to do, the better, right?
So, Corey, since it seems you've already picked your foci, why don't you talk about it while everyone else is reading through theirs?
Oh, I picked psychic training. It's going to give me a bonus to one of my psychic proficiencies. If I get that to a 1, I get a technique from that discipline. So I actually put my precog from 0 to 1.
Nice. Now, I also say, there are sort of rules to play aliens or AIs, robots, certain things. And one, if you're going to do that, there is a foci. And effectively what the... There's a foci specifically that allows the DM to basically says, okay, build your own ability. Now, you can play as an alien species at the start of the game. However, for the purposes of storytelling at the start of the game, you need to be pretending to be human at the very least. You don't have to tell me in this session zero if you're doing that, but I would appreciate a private message just so I don't get, also get blindsided when you rip the mask off in the game. All right. Has everyone picked their foci? You still need more time to read.
I have picked mine.
Okay. Well, while we're still waiting for them, yep. Court. Oh, go. Was that words?
I've picked mine too.
Okay. So, one of the things I want to establish before we start talking the game, and while the other two are still reading through and picking theirs, so I'm going to ask. It's going to be important pretty early in the game that your characters are going to make what might be appear to be some rash decisions. You're going to decide to go on this grand adventure out into the great black of space. So, what's motivating your character? Why? What types of things would pull you out into that world? What's special about you that makes you make choices like this?
Well, for me, I found like this old coin. That had two sides. One has like a devil face and the other one has like an angel on it. And my character for their whole life has been flipping this coin to make decisions, and it's always led them the right direction. So they believe this has to be God's work, and they're going out to find that God.
Okay, Harvey Dent.
Harvey Dent. Can we trust him?
Well, no.
This is literally two-faced. Wisp and I are so smart.
Okay, I'm not calling you out. I just want to know what brought that up.
Yeah, I'm confused too.
What?
Sometimes you gotta compliment yourself, right?
I agree. You're very smart, but I'm just wondering what that kind of felt a little random.
Yeah.
Well, we answered your question. and it was the right answer. And that makes us smart. Why are you guys treating me like I'm weird?
I mean, none of us are normal.
Yeah. Like, I'm just out. Like, it makes sense to me.
Okay. Well, Lyra, how's your foci coming? Or are you still working on the class, or are you up to the foci?
I just finished. I had arts to read through. So how many foci do I get? Two?
You get two, yes. You get...
Okay.
Oh, I get two as well?
You are a partial warrior, so you get one free foci and one combat-focused foci.
Sick.
One thing I also want to talk about, just for my plans for this series, so we're starting off with, you know, a fun little planet-hopping adventure. My long-term plans for the second half of this campaign, I mean, we'll see if we get there. This group has made me throw out so many of my plans and plot lines before, because... And that's
we'll
fine.
Do it again.
That's totally fine. That's, you know, if everything went exactly to my plan, this game would be boring for me, at least. But long term, there is a book expansion to this, I believe it's called Sons of Gold, that goes a lot into faction management, colony management, business management, and I would like the characters to eventually take on a role where they are running a colony, or perhaps running, I know others have expressed running their own factions, not necessarily the entire colony. And I've spoken to some of you about this, so give me a baseline, I guess, for what you're thinking about, what you're interested in running later on.
Do you want me to, like, go full tilt? Like, I'm going to end up running a casino planet. That's my character is going to be based around luck.
Obviously, I'm going to run a religion that's totally not a cult. A duh.
It's 100% a cult. There's only one.
Yeah. When you say it like that, that's absolutely a cult.
Well, let's define our terms. What's the difference? Let's get offensive. Let's get canceled.
I think you need a written piece of work, and you need a certain amount of followers. So get that Insta going, and maybe you'll do fine.
Did you take the lucky foci, Corey?
No, I took the psychic one. I'm probably going to pick up that one eventually, though. You know, last time Sloth had me play Without Numbers game, I picked that up and I used it to try and make my failure happen.
My thought was having my character run a, like, shipping or shipbuilding company, because spaceships are cool, which is also his motivation for getting the wide open yonder.
Spaceships are very cool. That is another mechanic we are going to cover in this game. There will be space combats. At the start, it'll be just one or two ships. Because honestly, personally, this is my own philosophy. Space battles are a lot more engaging when you know the name of every ship that's in the combat. If that makes sense. When I see a lot of the modern sci-fi and you have just thousands of ships flying around constantly and you can barely follow what's going on. Okay, we know the main character ship, but there's like they're just this tiny piece in there, but it's not necessary. Think of the combat in this game more like The Hunt for the Red October, your classic submarine spaceship combat, you know, rather than the final battle of Star Wars. You get what I'm saying? You picking up the vibe that I'm drawing on?
Not a clue.
You've never seen Hunt for the Red October?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Then how are you not picking up the vibe?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you didn't drop it.
Okay. Well, there's an episode of Star Trek, the original Star Trek, where they're going up against a Romulan vessel. Have you seen that one?
No. I've absolutely never seen any Star Trek.
Well, we've got an assignment in between sessions. But, yeah, that's I'm going for quick, tense battles between, at most, I would say probably at the height of the combat in this game, there might be 4 or 5 ships involved. Which isn't to say that they'll always be small ships. Like, there is an option, especially if you are managing an entire colony or a major corporation, you could afford an entire battleship. But you won't be able to afford much else, because you will have to pay for the staff. And believe it or not, that's pretty expensive. Speaking of conflict, I am also adding a new rule for how experience is gained in this. So, experience in this setting doesn't need to be a lot to level up. Players will receive 1 experience point just for showing up, which, by the way, everybody, mark 1 experience point on your character sheet. Welcome to the game.
Yay!
Then you will, but I want more so, because y'all got along way too much last campaign. I'm joking. It's
I'm
fine.
Sure that's not going to happen again now that Corey is here. So, Corey likes the smoke.
So, you will also gain an experience point. At the end of the session, I'm going to ask, did your character come into conflict with another character in the group? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it had to come to blows. There could just be an argument or a disagreement, and you could even resolve the conflict in the session. But as long as the conflict is happening, that's another experience point for you. And then later, when we add in that you become a member of a crew or a member of your own faction or own colony, I'll ask the question, did your personal desires come into conflict with the needs of the crew or the needs of your company or the needs of your colony? And if the answer is yes, then it's another experience point. So up to 3 experience points per session. Again, none of this means that you have to have, like, a major problem. You can resolve this problem in session, just that the conflict is happening. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there good conflicts?
Story-wise, yes.
I mean, like, what if I get Wurtz to fall in love with me? Which... This is
no,
the worst
no, that's weird.
No, that's bad.
That's gross.
Well, hold on. Let me cook.
Sloth, kill their characters. Kill them right now.
Okay.
Let me cook.
I didn't agree to this.
Hard no. There will be no. We are not Game of Thrones-ing this. There will be no twincest. Hard no.
Okay. If I choose anybody else but Wurtz, do I get experience for having a love story?
Sell it to me. How is that a conflict? I'm not saying no. I just want to hear your argument.
Okay. It can generate conflicts with I don't know, maybe there's some jealousy. I think at the end of the day, it's just fun storytelling. Right? It's like adding more to the story.
If I can piggyback on this, like, maybe their romantic interests may conflict with their financial interests or the interests of their colony or something. Like, say, you know, your romantic interest doesn't want you to go forward with a really good business deal because it's against her scruples or something. Or their scruples. Or his scruples. Or maybe they get kidnapped. And you have to expend military resources to go get them back.
Well, I would say that would be an interpersonal conflict or a conflict with your own faction or crew, but the love itself doesn't seem to be justified as a conflict, in my opinion. It can be a motivation for your conflict, but I don't think it in and of itself would be conflicting.
You heard it here, everybody. Sloth hates love. Sloth doesn't think love makes you a better person.
Love is a chemical reaction in your brain. That's all. Okay, so, Lyra and Wisp, how are we doing on our foci?
I think I'm Gucci. I think I'm good to go.
Same.
Okay, so the next up, you can increase 1 skill on your sheet. This can be any skill on your sheet at all. This represents your own personal interest that you've decided to devote time to for your character. And I'll ask a similar question to Lyra and Wisp that I had asked Corey and Wurtz earlier. What is it about your character that makes you make decisions that might put you on this path, join this crew to become part of this adventure? What motivates you? What's important to you?
Whisper, you'd like to go first, or?
Oh, I guess. The best I got is Zeke's got a bit of PTSD and he's trying to work through it.
Alright.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
That is completely valid.
The journey of self-discovery? Yeah, that's a totally valid reason.
Yeah. So we're rocking with Patty. Patty's already gonna have some beef with our celestial boys because as a root and that whole notion of having to pay tribute to your betters, Patty's mom is kind of drinking the Kool-Aid of the celestials being gods and has absolutely depleted their family's funds and anything that they could use, like, to afford any sort of expense to the Celestials. So Patty wants to become as ideologically powerful as the Celestials to get her family out of debt and to learn how to be a more powerful mage.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, the caterpillar farm isn't doing that great.
And then after you've chosen your one personal non-psychic skill, our psychic characters can choose their psychic skill. So, the partial psychics can automatically raise one of their psychic skills to level 0. The full psychics can raise 2 of their psychic skills. They can either raise one psychic skill twice, up to level 1, or they can raise 2 psychic skills to level 2, and then gain the abilities listed under that psychic skill, which begins on page 28.
Question for you, Slot.
Answer for you, Lyra.
Because I am a mage, I get magic as a free skill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that gonna be used for me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Because there will be other mages in the setting, knowledge of magic is important, and use of magic and identifying other psychic and powerful items. Effectively, if I were to make you identify a psychically charged item, you would roll your magic skill.
Gotcha. Okay, that was basically my question. Is my magic there, psychic? Gotcha. Thank you. I love how compatible the system is. Good job, Sine Nomine.
So, also reading now from the... you've already picked your tradition as a mage, I believe, which is the necromancer.
I have necromancy, yep.
If you are a full necromancer, choose 4 starting spells from your class's first level spell list. You, as a necromancer, you can also choose from the high mage spell list if you prefer. These are the spells that you can prepare per day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you've already done that because you were quiet for a while. But
yeah.
I can read you. Read you like a book.
Ew, okay. I'm going to write myself in a different language now.
Hooray! Next up, we are going to be rolling hit points. And these first level can be brutal.
I already rolled hit points. I guess I jumped ahead.
That's okay.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, fine. That's totally fine. But
I rolled a 5.
I'm still walking our people at home through this. You're going to roll a 1d6. Okay. 1d6, then you add your constitution modifier. And then, if your class allows it, you can either add an extra hit point or subtract a hit point. So, unlike Dungeons & Dragons and other similar games, every time you level up, instead of adding more hit points to that, you are going to reroll all your hit dice and add all your modifiers to it. And if the new hit point total is higher, you take the new hit point total. If it's not higher, then you just add 1 hit point to your current max hit points. So hit points much, much lower in this game, which is why, you know, this game tends to be a little deadlier and encourages players to be more strategic with their decision-making and how they fight in combat. Fight dirty, and don't fight often. Or don't, you know, it's up to you. Right. Next up, we are going to add any attack bonuses that you could get to your character sheet. Your attack bonus is equal to, for your ranged, your dexterity modifier, plus any attack bonuses given by your class. So for the warrior, full warrior, which I don't believe we have any here, but your attack bonus is equal to your character level. I believe at this stage, the partial warrior also gets a plus one to attack. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Everyone else does not get an attack bonus beyond either their strength for their melee attack bonus or their dexterity modifier for their ranged attack bonus. Up next, equipment packages. Is everyone caught up, by the way? Am I going too fast?
I am caught up, but not sure about the others.
I'm Gucci.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to choose our starting equipment. So if you chose Worlds Without Numbers, I'm sorry to say, your starting equipment is going to be not great compared to everyone else's. But that's okay, because it makes sense if you're living in the roots. Your standard of living is substantially less than that of everyone else. But don't worry, you will have an opportunity to get new gear as you progress. And your gear is not useless. Per se. It's just, you can't start with a laser gun.
It just kind of sucks.
So, equipment packages in Worlds Without Number begin on page 29. In Stars Without Number, they begin on page 25. And while you're looking for that, does anyone have any questions about the setting so far, or anything you think, I think this is cool, and Sloth, I'd like you to include this in the setting, feel free to jump in and say it.
What's Lyft? I start with two doses of it, and I don't know what that means.
Lyft is a drug. It's a pharmaceutical. I'm so glad you asked that. So, Lyft is a stim that augments and amplifies the body's natural response to physical injury and exhaustion. This boosts speed and natural recovery drastically. It heals 1d8 plus the user's heal skill in hit points after 5 minutes of rest. So this is pretty much just, hey, you're dying, you know, slap that on.
It's a stim.
Yeah. Careful not to get addicted.
I'll do my best.
I have a question for you, Sloth. Can you explain readied items?
I sure can. So, readied item are items that you have ready. I'm gonna get there. Let me cook, as Corey would say. So, effectively, a readied item, when combat begins, you have a certain number of items that you can ready. And that means you don't have to take an action to remove them from your pack. So, for example, you have a gun in your holster, you know, on your hip. That's a readied item. Or, I don't know, maybe you just have things that are convenient and at reach. So these are items that you, in the heat of the moment, you want to have ready. That they are available to you quickly, and you don't, so, you know, you can't be, you know, the fighter with, you know, 30 different swords on his back for every scenario. You can maybe have a handful of them, that these are what's available to you this fight. Does that all that make sense? You can say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, so there's also various, obviously you can write down your weapon damage as well as your armor class. You are going to add your dexterity to your armor class in just about every case. Saving throws are done differently in this game than what you might expect from most. So your saving throws... high numbers are good when you're rolling the saving throw. You want to beat your own saving throw. So it starts at 15 is your saving throw. You need to roll higher than a 15. Then you subtract your level, and then you subtract the highest modifier of your attributes that are related to that skill roll. What does that mean? Thank you for asking. So for physical saves... These represent saves against diseases, poisons, exhaustions. So it's 15 minus your level minus your strength or constitution modifier, whichever is higher. Evasion, you are going to add in your dexterity or intelligence modifier. Sorry, subtract your dexterity or intelligence modifier, whichever is higher, and your level. And mental is going to be charisma and wisdom. And then whenever you are exposed to something, let's say, I release a toxin in the room and you are now coughing, I'm going to say, roll your physical save. And you roll a d20, your physical save is 13. If you roll a 13 or higher, you don't die horribly from the poison I have released into your lungs.
Okay, Mr. Joker Man.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, I need something to talk about. Let's go on a tangent about the laughing gas. The Joker gas. That was added, I believe, or at least the first time I saw it, was in the 90s Batman animated series, because they couldn't have the Joker kill people. So instead he released a toxin that caused people to laugh and constantly until they had a permanent smile on their face and they died of exhaustion. That way it's child appropriate and not a million times scarier than just getting shot.
I'd rather get shot.
Everyone would. There was, did you ever see Mask of the Phantasm?
I don't know.
It was a full theatrical release of the Batman animated movie, and there's a character who gets blasted with the Joker gas, and Batman interviews him, and they are trying to, like, put him on drugs to make him relax, because he's literally dying of exhaustion, because he can't stop laughing. Full belly laughs, and, it is one of the most terrifying scenes in Batman history. I can't help but say it was a genuine stroke of genius on their part. Anyways, getting back to the game, we are wrapping up. Is everyone caught up? Because there's only one step left, and this is a special step that you will not find in the. Are we all?
I'm in the book.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So one final step. So in the. In the Vanguard reference section, which should be the Lazy Sloth RPG reference section, you're going to find your chosen cast in the Celestial Order, be it Root, Trunk, Branch, or Celestial. You're going to open that up, and you're going to roll a d6. And that is the bonus skill you're going to get based off your experience growing up in that cast.
Find something useful.
Now... This will follow the same rules, so if this raises your skill above level 1, then instead you're going to be able to put that skill point anywhere you want.
Oh, so it's yay!
So it's just a free skill in anything.
What's the difference between work and exert?
So, work is a specific trade, a job that you have. So, for example, work would be a farmer, for example. However, lifting heavy farm equipment is not necessarily work farmer. That would be exert. Or if you want to run a marathon, that's exert. But accounting would be work. So, again, you get what I'm saying? Work is an occupation. Exert is physical stress that you're putting on your body. All right, and if that's everything, I think we can wrap it up there. Unless there are any further questions or anything you'd like to talk about with the setting and what we're doing.
No, I think that's it.
All right, well, thank you all for coming. I hope you had a good time, and next month we will begin our new campaign.
Yay!
Bye! Oh, also, say hi to Shira and Kirby for me.
Yeah, say hi to Shira and Kirby for me.
Hey, say hi yourself and ask them a question. I'll splice it right in.
Hey, Kirby and Shira, which is your favorite Rocky movie? And if you haven't seen Rocky, how many wooden forks do you think I have?
It's more than 20.
The answer may surprise you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And we are now beginning part two of this experimental session zero. Joining me this time to make their new characters is Kirby.
Hello, hello.
Shira.
That's me.
And Lyra's here to hang out and heckle.
Yeah, I am. Heckle away. heckle.
So I've already gone over most of the extra information that I had given the players in the first session with our two players here, so I won't repeat that too much. So feel free to just talk about whatever you want while we're playing, while we're building these characters.
But no swearing.
That's it. There was no swearing in the first half. So if the three of you can continue that, then everyone in the first session gets a free reroll.
Ah, heck.
Let's frickin' do this.
All right, so the two of you have your character sheets. The first step for both Cities Without Number and Stars Without Number, as Kirby is making a Cities Without Number character, Shira is making a Stars Without Number character class, is to either roll your attributes or select from an array.
I'm getting all my girly dice out to roll this character. Well, we're going to start with the right vibe.
Shira, what makes dice girly?
It's more of a feel. Like, I have one that has, like, sparkles and, like, a little seashell in it. And another one that's just, like, pink. And I know that's, like, very typical or whatever. But, you know, I embrace. If you want to do something girly with pink, go for it.
But this has to do with what you posted in the chat. So Shira posted in the chat that her character would be the epitome of these two images. And the first image was, like, of a turtle skeleton. And the second one was of the nail polish emoji. Like, the hands getting their nails done emoji.
Yeah, I'm doing a girly carapace.
Okay.
All right. So I have rolled 2 7s, 1 8... 112, 115, and 116. And I get to turn one of those into a 14.
Correct.
Those are juicy stats.
So yeah, I think it makes sense to just make the 16 a 14 then. Got it. Just kidding.
Well, yeah, that would be a bad choice, but take heart, Kirby, because I am using the underdog rule.
Oh, I didn't look at that rule, because I'm never going to be an underdog. Can't hold me down. All right, and you said we can pick where these go.
Yes, you can put them in any attribute you want. And these function very similar. If you've ever played Dungeons & Dragons, the attributes are the same, and they function pretty much the same. The saves are a little different, but overall... Shira, how are your attributes going?
How many am I rolling?
Well, there are six attributes, so three sets of 3d6.
I'm missing one. Give me 1 second.
Do I censor the S word?
it's
Shira.
No, I bailed halfway through. That doesn't count.
Oh, so you said ocean then.
Yeah. That's my catchphrase as this character. Ocean.
Okay.
Okay, I got a 10, a 6, a 17, a 7, a 4, and a 9.
My goodness. Well, you are 1 point away from Lyra, word me, please.
Matt's attribute.
You're not Lyra, but thank you.
I never get to word people. Usually it's people wording me. I'll take where I can.
And I don't take orders well.
I said please. That's not
I was scrolling on Twitter. I was busy.
Wow.
Okay, so once you've chosen what attributes you're putting where, you are going to want to add your attribute modifiers. Now, Kirby, you are playing a character that I believe you've told me, because you were playing a Cities Without Number, you are going to rely on cybernetics, correct?
Yeah, my character is going to be a little older, and he's going to use cybernetics to compensate. Yeah.
Now, this is the case in Stars Without Number as well. Not in Worlds Without Number, because there are no cybernetics in Worlds Without Number, but the characters will be allowed to use it. Constitution is a very important stat for determining how many cybernetics you can have in your body at once. There is something called system strain, which in Stars Without Number, you build up system strain when you're healed, and it disappears over time, but also when you get cybernetics in there. So you can have a maximum system strain equal to your total constitution score. That is, so if you have an 18, you have 18 system strain. So the more constitution you have, the more cybernetics your body can take. However, there's also a trade-off that you cannot have more system strain than your constitution. So if you are injured and you are then healed and you reach max system strain, bad things happen.
I have place 15 in my con.
Good choice. All right. Next up, we are going to pick a background. So Shira, you can find your background starting. Do you have the book open?
I can open it right now.
I would appreciate it if you did. That would be helpful. So
okay, I have it open.
Thank you. Your background. No, not a problem. So your backgrounds begin on page 9. For Kirby, they begin on page 7 of the Cities Without Number book. And once you've chosen your background, hopefully it'll be appropriate to the cast that you've chosen. I would also like you to choose your cast at this stage as well. Then we can begin giving you your starting skills. So let me know when you've chosen your background and what it is, who your character is, and what they do. Well, that's I've been told recently that I'm gonna tangent while you're reading through this, so you know you have to listen to my nonsense. But I've been told recently that identifying yourself as your job is a very American thing, and that you know if you were to ask me who I am, what do I do? In other countries, I'd expect to talk about, you know, like what I'm passionate about, what I, you know, my hobbies, the people I spend my time with, and the things that I do with them. But here, you know, you are your job. No matter what Fight Club tells you.
I'm not my job.
I could make a joke about it, but it would require revealing personal information, and I don't want to do that. So.
No, do it. Technically, I don't work there anymore.
I was gonna say, didn't you just quit your job?
I didn't quit my job. The contract ended. I don't go here anymore. She doesn't even go here anymore.
I have picked manager. Yeah.
Manager, and I believe we had discussed you were, last time I talked to you about this, you were planning on playing a member of the Branch cast?
Yeah, Branch for life.
Okay, so you were going to see next to Manager, one, you get a free skill of Administer. Now, in this game, your first skill level takes you from having no skills in that to a 0, not a +1. And you have a couple options here. You can either take the quick skills, which is the quick skills are listed immediately under your free skill, or there's two charts to the right of your free skill. You can roll 3 times, split between these two charts, to get bonus skills or bonus stats. Potentially you could get a lot more by rolling, but you also don't control what you get. So you can put all 3 in one of these, or you can put 1 in one and 2 in the other. It's up to you.
So I'm going to take my free skill of Minister to 0, and then I have quick skills, talk, and trade that I'm just going to take.
You're just going to take the quick skills?
Yeah. Oh. So those should now be both 0s as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Shira.
Yes.
Any backgrounds jumping out to you?
Yeah, I was kind of lucky to get Barbarian, but I kind of Vagabond fits perfectly for the character that I'm thinking about.
Ooh.
So I'm going to go with Vagabond.
And what cast are they from?
They're from the trunk.
Sweet, we got another trunk.
Why would I take the quick skills? Why wouldn't I roll? The rolls are good.
It's fun. Now, one thing I noticed in Saves Without Number, and I'm gonna read this, is that Saves Without Number, you only get two quick skills. I'm wondering why that's the case.
So I need, baby.
So I'm gonna real quick read this. The rules might be slightly different here. I don't believe it or not, even though I've read this book before, I don't have a eidetic memory, so.
I rolled plus +5.
I did it.
While Sloth is reading, I wanna know some cool little fun facts about the characters you have in mind. Like, so Kirby, you said you're gonna do like a robo grandpa.
Yeah,
at least that's what my mind translated it to. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I should clarify, older is not that much older. So I think what it is, and part of the reason why I jumped for quick skills, is I'm playing someone who was a famous sports star in his prime, and now that he's older, and older for an athlete, meaning like, well, I'm gonna ignore the fact that like mid to late 40s, he's like Tom Brady-ing this, right?
Okay.
And at this point he's moved away from the sports and has gone into the entertainment industry, right? It started off pretty simple where, you know, he was just talking about the sport that he used to be on and, you know, occasionally commentating and all that kind of stuff, and then it's kind of like finesse in different areas. So that's part of the reason why I just want to go for quick skills, because it's like, yeah, I'm a manager now, but I wasn't always a manager.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that.
So I feel like it's just more appropriate that I just have the quick skills as opposed to fishing for more when that wasn't exactly my background, like 100%, right?
Yeah, and yeah. How does your character feel about kind of not falling out of, but being shifted out of the way of the spotlight and is more in the background running things? How do they feel about that?
I think at this point, he's just more bark than bite. Like, he still works out, hence why like half my good ability scores have gone toward physical stuff. And he gets like the augmentations done to keep up, as it were, with the younger crowd. And he talks a lot of smack about, you know, still being super good, still being hot. But I think the reality is probably that, you know, without his augmentations, he wouldn't be anything. And the kids these days are like in their prime doing these sport ball games. While some of them may have augmentations, I don't know how the society feels about that in sport, in like competitive sports, but either way, they could definitely like outplay them, I think. I see.
So yeah. I would interpret this, because I always thought this was a fair compromise, is that there is a league that allows augmentations and a league that doesn't. So and it's sort of like one's way more popular than the others. Can you guess which one?
Oh, augmentation.
So I realized why this is an issue. So in the quick skills in Stars Without Number, it lists your free skill amongst the quick skills, whereas in Cities Without Number, it does not. So that's...
So I'm getting the right amount of skills?
Yes.
Okay. I actually, what it started with for the entertainment thing, I had this dumb idea the other day, is like he started, like, so he retires from professional sports balling, or maybe this is like toward the end of his career, and then he gets on TV for a like reality TV show that's like sports based. And it's kind of like, You know how video games, like sport video games, will have career modes or whatever and take you through a storyline stuff? Mm-hmm. He basically, like, it's a reality TV show, sure, but he basically plays a role in that because, you know, they're crafting the reality anyways, as is. And there are, like, shows like that today that are kind of like that. The UFC has or had a show like that where it was a reality TV show following, like, UFC fighters, but they had veteran UFC fighters come in and basically, like, coach some teams or whatever against each other. It's that whole thing. So that's kind of what I'm expecting, except in this weird future, the key here was, like, you know, it was spicier. It was more soap opera, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing. So that's where he gets to start in the entertainment business.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Like, they have he has insight in the sports ball business and the show business, and, like, it's all about, like, you know, audience engagement, no matter what it is, and boosting those ratings, right? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
While I move on to Shira, I want you to think about, like, what this sport actually is. Like, you know, how dangerous. Yeah, but tell me about sports ball. Is there actually a ball involved? How dangerous is it? Yada, yada.
Every quarter, the ball changes from football to soccer to... Yeah, but please, move on to Shira. we clearly have this fleshed out game.
Yeah.
Please continue. I'm doing character things.
Okay. Well, if you're ready, I'd like to ask you some questions. But that's cool how sports ball is, like, all sports.
Actually, before we do that, Shira, did you decide to roll for your on the tables, or did you take the quick?
I rolled.
Okay. What can I ask? Which you rolled?
Yes, I got +2 to a physical. I got a work. And I got a +1 to any stat.
Okay. So when you get +2 to physical, that means you can increase your strength, dexterity, or constitution by 2. That's what that means.
I like that you got work. Because it could be, like, regular work, but also, like, work in the sleigh, like, work.
Dude, yes! Yeah. I didn't think about that. Work. Yeah. This character works.
This actually, because I think you got a 17, you could start the game with an 18.
Yeah. But I'm thinking to save that for later. Because all of my other stats are really bad. So I'm seeing if I can bump anything to another +1 modifier.
I'm just going to very quickly go over so I can bother Kirby about this later and have him ready. So Kirby, the Cities Without Number operators, they're in some ways a little weaker and in other ways a little bit stronger, and one of the unique things that only the operators get at the start of the game is you get contacts for free. Contact is a character that you can call on. They'll either do business with you if they're an acquaintance, and they can, or if they're a friend, they'll really, you know, go the extra mile for you. You can either start the game with 2 acquaintances or 1 friend. You need to give them a name, a little description about them, what they're good at, what they can offer you, how you know them, things like that.
Sure, yeah, and so basically, for City Without Numbers, I have the option of either having 2 acquaintances who are basically going to be people who I know and will work with me reliably, or a single friend who can be expected to go the extra mile for you. Mm-hmm. I've decided that friend's going to be Lyra. No, I'm just kidding. they have these 2 tables here that I'm just going to roll on, where one table is, like, example contacts and the other one is the start of that relationship. So I'm just going to roll that. I'll mention it and then I'll have to think about it for a second.
All right. Well, while you're working on that, let's go back to bugging Shira. Hi, Shira.
Hey, Solve.
So, you've chosen your background. Did I ask what cast you chose?
Well, I chose to be Trunk so that we would have some diversity and stuff.
Actually, I think Trunk is the most,
Well, chosen. when Sloth was saying, please pick the different things, I was like, I'll
pick Trunk since nobody's picking Trunk, and now I guess everybody wants Trunk, huh?
No, you're tied for the second most popular. There's two Celestials, one Branch, two Trunks, and one Root.
I could.
Shira, if you, no matter what you switch to, you will still be tied. You'll still be in the cast tied for first place. Like,
I could go Branches.
And then you would still be tied for second.
Wait, I thought nobody was Branches. Oh, Kirby's Branches.
Kirby's in the Branches. So there's one other person. So they're two go in Trunks. Yeah. So
just go whatever works for your character.
Yeah, whatever makes sense for your character. Or what's the most interesting?
I'll go Roots.
Okay.
Yay, Root buddies.
Lyra, you're Root?
I'm Root, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I believe Lyra's character lives on a farm with her two moms.
Mm-hmm. And my dad.
Well, your dad, my grandpa. They don't live on the farm, though.
They don't live on the farm, no.
I don't think I mentioned this in the first half, but I'm going to just cover this now. So, Lyra, in the last couple games I've run for her, including Vanguard, she's had very contentious or very, and often sad, relationships with her character's family. And I traded her Sprinkles and information about Sprinkles in order to, like, as part of the deal to, like, okay, next game I'm running for you, you're going to have loving families who support you. And I'll give you a dragon.
Easiest deal I've ever made.
And I ended up with three supportive parents and one grandma.
Yep.
Okay.
So, what? I mean, tell us a bit about your character. Where you come from? What you're about?
Okay. Well, first I'll give you the mechanics because I just decided them. She's gonna be 18. Strength, so plus 2 strength. She's gonna be plus 1 charisma, 0 con and dex, and minus 1 intelligence and wisdom.
Okay.
So a nice array of things. So I'm thinking of, I was thinking what are cool warrior things, and I kept thinking about lobsters. Do you know that lobsters are kind of, and don't at me if I'm wrong, I don't care, I live in my own world. Lobsters are basically immortal. They just need to mold into a new and create a new, like, shell, and they can continue living. They will just grow and grow. And until they're just too, I think they don't have energy.
Yeah, like, they die of exhaustion.
Yeah, because they become so big that they can't shed it and make an even bigger shell. So they just basically squeeze to death. Anyway, that inspired me to do a character. I want a character that has a carapace, and basically her body is her home.
Aww.
And that's why I think Vagabond. Am I saying that wrong? It sounds weird.
Vagabond. That's correct.
You're correct.
Okay. Vagabond is a perfect, like, background for her. It's like she has, like, her little shell and stuff. She just, like, keeps things and tchotchkes and things like that. And, you know, her body is her home. So she likes to take care of it. And that led me to being she's a bit of a girly girl. She likes to slay. She likes to have fun. She likes to look nice, you know? Herself, her outside, is like her whole life, her home, her everything. So she likes to take care of herself, okay? She treats herself.
Oh my gosh. I feel like, okay, so my character's dad and grandpa work in the trash mines, and they basically try to separate the trash from the treasure. Maybe like, your character, like, finds little trinkets and shiny things to put on their carapace from the trash mines and stuff.
I love that, and since we have to start, like, pretending to be human, I think she just, like, molts her skin every night before it hardens. So she's soft and gooey every day. Like a human.
She woke up like that.
Maybe it's Maybelline. And yeah, I think like the trinkets she finds, she just like maybe like she has like a lot of piercings of like little like things that are hanging from her. Yeah, and like definitely like glitter all over her. She loves a shiny thing. She loves anything that shines. Yeah, maybe she wears so much makeup that you can't tell that she's not human.
All right. Well, Shira, yeah. The next step you need to do, and I know you've already told me what class you're going to play, is you're going to need to choose your class.
I want to play a warrior because I'm playing a girly girl, but a strong girly girl because work.
Mm-hmm. Work.
Now, this is actually when I was reading about crossover games with the different classes. One of the things they talk about is, technically speaking, the warrior from Worlds Without Number is stronger because they have an ability called Killing Blow, which adds damage to their attacks. However, it says if you cross over with Cities Without Number or with Worlds Without Number, make them use the Stars Without Number game version of Warrior, because the addition of, you know, energy weapons and rocket launchers sort of makes up for not having, you know, the whole being stronger thing. So you're stuck. You're stuck with this warrior, and you don't get Killing Blow. I forbid it.
Okay. I never had it in the first place, so it's not like I lost anything.
Yeah, but go ahead and check out Warrior, and then enter the abilities granted by Warrior. While you're doing that, I'm going to go and bug Kirby what he thinks about his contacts.
Yeah, they're not itchy at all. They're reusable contacts. So I did some rolling. I didn't roll for everything. I rolled for most things because the following page I found had a one roll contact table. I've decided to go with a friend. And based on what I rolled and based on who I am and all that stuff, my friend is, his name is Vega, just like Vega from Street Fighter. But in this, they are a pop rock star who I protected from a abusive manager. And he is a pop rock star that is popular among, let me check my notes for this cast system. People of the root people. How do we refer to these people?
Roots.
Yeah, he's popular among roots. He is definitely an older pop star, a little bit of a legend. His music would be considered classic at this point. That's how long he's been in the business. And I've known of him since he was young, and we evidently met through a mutual friend, which is the specific details of that is just undecided. I can flesh that out if you like, but that's the general gist.
All right, we can definitely deal with that more and, you know, develop them over time. Your next step is to pick two edges. And edges are sort of for you and for the kids at home. Edges are sort of like the adventurer class in Stars Without Numbers and Worlds Without Numbers. It's sort of like I get to mix between two classes. Whereas the operator is more like a buffet of class abilities. They can choose from a long list of abilities. They get two at the start of the game. When they reach fifth level, they can pick a third. If they have very low stats, which I don't think you do, Kirby, because if add up all of your modifiers for attributes, what's the number?
1,000. It is, 30, 45, 57, 64. I'm sorry. You said modifiers?
Just the modifiers. What's the total modifiers?
The total modifier, my friend, is 2. Plus 2.
Plus 2? Okay, so no, you don't qualify for the underdog rule. For now, just pick two of the operator edges, and at fifth level, you can pick a third. And just build your own class. A lot of fun stuff you can pick in here. Excuse me. Ugh, I'm so I'm so bad mouthed today.
Unbelievable.
Welcome to my world.
So I was only half listening. You told Shira she can't take Killing Blow from Worlds Without Number.
Correct.
Can I take it for City Without Number?
You can, yes. And okay. The reason for that is because the warrior from...
Is mean and hates Shira. And Shira alone.
Okay.
I know that.
The reason is, in order to build a warrior from Worlds Without Number in Cities Without Number, you would need four edges to do that. So effectively the warrior would get four of these abilities from Worlds Without Number. They get three of these abilities from Stars Without Number. So that's why it's balanced. So you get the same number of these class abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you get to shoot big laser guns, which are cool.
Alright. So I get two edges. I'm not actually planning on taking Killing Blow. I just wanted to see if you would favor me over Shira. But I do have a question. So
that so much.
So I'm looking at masterful expertise, and you know that's once per scene as an instant action, reroll a fail check for a non-combat skill.
Mm-hmm.
If I were like sport ball, still undecided, but if I were like hypothetically say, I don't know, a basketball player, would I use the shoot skill? Like what would that look like, I guess?
That would probably be exert.
Oh, exert. Okay. Then that answers my question. So I'm going to go with masterful expertise, exert.
Well, with masterful expertise, you don't choose a specific skill. It's any non-combat skill.
Oh, shoot. You thought you were going to get me with the cursing with that surprise knowledge drop, but oh, shoot. Okay. Well, then that makes it easy. And then I'm going to pick Wired, where I'm going to pick up, quote, second hand, I guess. It's less that it's second hand and more that it's just like last gen stuff.
That's fine as long as it still has the second hand trait.
Okay, sure.
So that means for the audience at home, Wired allows 200,000 credits worth of cyberware. It's dollars in cities, but it's credits in a Star Trek number at the start of the game. So that's pretty good. Because we are using the Stars Without Number rule set, so in Cities Without Number, as the players are meant to be kept desperate, so they have to constantly be taking on jobs and doing riskier activity, cyberware has an upkeep cost. That is not the case in Stars Without Number. So once you get these, because we're playing Stars Without Number, you just have them. Ain't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I will jump back to Shira. Shira, how have we entered in our class abilities and whatnot?
The class abilities for Warrior are just getting some extra hit points. I get to make something hit at some point.
Or miss, and once per scene.
Yes, once per scene.
Which is a deceptively powerful ability, especially if, because I know you had mentioned you wanted to take alert, which pretty much means you can. Let me tell you a story. First time I played this game, I played a warrior on a team full of psychics, and I my character talked some smack to a cyborg, and we ended up in a boxing match together to settle it. And the DM said, roll for initiative, and I had both levels of alert. Says, no, I just go first. I was like, oh, okay. It says, alright, so rolled a hit, and I rolled a two, and the DM says, that doesn't hit. And I said, wait, no, yes, it does, I'm a warrior. And then I knocked him out in the first round before he even got to act. That's a really good ability for a warrior. And like I said, it doesn't even specify how difficult the shot has to be. Like, I can see a guy, he's a mile away, and I pull out this rifle. I'm just going to hit him. Bam.
That's particularly deadly in this game for the rest of us, because we're all squishy as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting hit points are six.
For you,
yes.
For me,
some
and
have
I get
less.
Extra.
Some people played mages, and mages have some very powerful abilities and spells, but they get minus one hit point every single level.
As a warrior, you get plus two hit points every level.
So, Shira, now that you got your class entered, I would like you to pick your foci. So you start off with one free foci, and as a warrior, you get one combat-oriented foci.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely getting alert, because that's my that's my baby. Is there, between the, how do I distinguish the combat foci?
I mean, really, it's kind of up to the GM description, but if it would be used in combat, then I would say it's combat. That being said, if you want both levels of alert, you need to spend both of those foci on that. You'll see in the description there are two levels of it.
Actually, yeah, I'm getting level two alert, so that I can, first level, you gain notice as a bonus skill. Ooh, I should write that down so that I can know it. I cannot be surprised, nor can others use the execution attack option on me. I don't know what that is, but it sounds bad. When you roll initiative, roll twice and take the best result. But at second level, you act first in combat, unless someone else has the alert.
I'm going to come back to you in just a second, Shira, but Kirby, you also are now choosing your foci.
That's correct. I get one, right?
You get one unless you picked an ability that gives you a second foci. Mm.
I have just picked authority. So I gain lead as a bonus skill, so I assume that takes me to zero for lead.
Correct.
And then once per day, I can make a request of an NPC who's not openly hostile to me, make a charisma lead skill check. And if I see, they will comply with the request, provided it is not harmful or very uncharacteristic.
So, yes, bonus skills, sure, you got one as well, will take you, if you don't have any in the skill, it will take you from zero to one, from nothing to zero. If you have a zero, it will take you from zero to one. At the start of the game, if you get, at first level, if you have any skill that would be moved to a plus two, you cannot take that. So what will basically happen is you don't get to level two of that skill. You just get to pick that point to go into another skill of your choice.
This is for how do we figure out how many things we can add skills to?
Well, you didn't have a notice skill before you picked this, correct?
No, I didn't.
So then you are just now notice zero.
Perfect. Okay, so I have Survive 0 because of Vagabond. I have Work 0 because of Vagabond, and now I have Notice 0 because of Vagabond, and everything else is negative 1.
Cool. Alright, next up, you both can pick a skill. That this is a hobby skill for you. It cannot be a psychic skill or a magic skill. Neither of those were an option for either of you anyway. So any one skill, this represents your own personal interest in development, something you pursued outside of your career, or could be within your career if you'd prefer.
Sorry, Sloth, can you repeat that?
Just pick one skill, Shira, and you can raise it by one, as long as it doesn't take you to plus two. And this represents your own personal interests or hobbies, things outside your natural talents.
Ooh, stab looks good.
Do either of your characters have families?
I don't think mine does.
My company is my family.
Okay.
See, you are
your
job.
Did you start your own company?
So what?
Did you start your own company, or are you a part of a company?
I think I just kind of took over an existing company. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
how does your character live, Shira, if they live by themselves? Like, How do they get by? Do they have to eat?
Yeah. I actually think maybe my characters does have like human origin in some way, that maybe they're a mutated lobster girl. So they're just, I'm liking the idea that they mutated and they're just kind of immortal as long as they keep like molting their skin. And basically, like, everybody they knew who was a lobster just died long ago. Didn't grow out of the shells. And now she has to act kind of human, but she doesn't belong. And it's just easier to kind of, like, she has all she needs in her home, which is her body. She makes by like scavenging things, and it's a garden planet we're on, so I guess she just lives off of the earth, very hippie that way. I don't think she has many interactions with people.
Okay,
now next up, it sounds like Shira already did this, but we need to roll our hit points.
It was in the warrior thing.
And I'm not putting you on blast, Shira. I'm just saying, you know, it's already done, so don't worry about it.
You're being so mean to Shira tonight. What is going on?
You know, Lyra, at the start of this session, when I was going over, you know, the rules, I said no one's allowed to yell at Sloth anymore.
I wasn't there. I was making ravioli.
So anyways, Kirby, you're going to add 1d6. So you're going to roll 1d6 plus your constitution modifier. I don't believe you chose an ability that raises your hit points per level. Shira, did you add your constitution modifier to your...
Yes, okay. But my constitution modifier is 0 right now.
Great job.
Because I'm molting every day, you know? I'm squishy. Maybe later when I'm not molting, where I can be my true self, I'll gain some constitution. I have a whole arc planned already.
So next up, we're going to record our attack bonuses. Shira, Kirby, did you roll for your
point? Yeah, I rolled 1, and then I have a constitution of +1, so I have 2 HP.
Oh my. So the good news is we re-roll our hit dice every level, so you'll probably do better on level 2. However, you very easily could get killed in one shot. So it's very important for first level characters to be very cautious about picking their fights early on.
It's fine. Just stand behind me, babe. I got you.
I'm just going to 1v1 people in my sports ball.
Okay.
Hey, we'll get to go first.
Honestly, you could justify that as you retired. Maybe you got really badly injured or something. We're going to record our attack bonus. So, Shira, you are a warrior class, so your attack bonus is equal to your character level, so +1. Kirby, as an operator, your attack bonus at this level should be +0.
Okay.
Unless you took the on-target attack bonus, which I don't believe you did.
I did not, no.
Sloth, one question. Which we may be coming up to.
You have as many questions as you'd like, sure.
Well, I'm perhaps it's just so you can. Okay, thank you, Sloth. you flustered me by being very nice.
I'm always nice. What do you mean?
Like it's I'm not. Nothing yes. I say right she's, now is gonna...
Not, she's not used to Sloth being nice to her, because Sloth isn't usually nice to her.
That's not true.
I never expect people to be nice to me. That way I'm never disappointed if they aren't.
Oh, Shira, that's oh so... God, I'm giving you an air hug. Come over here.
I'm joining the air hug.
Oh, hug. A Sloth hug. That's really... That's rare. Okay, focus, guys. Okay, I gain a free level in combat-related focus associated to my background. The GM decides if a focus qualifies, if it's an ambitious case. Is that the second level of alert that I gained?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to do this a little out of order because the next step for the operator is saving throws. So we're just going to do saving throws together. So you have, in Stars Without Number, you have 3 saving throws. In Worlds Without Number and Cities Without Number, you have 4, which is adds the luck saving throw. We are not doing the luck saving throw, unless I decide to add it later. Who knows? So, your starting save is 15. Lower numbers are good in this case. So it's 15, minus the best of your strength and constitution modifiers for your physical save. Your evasion save is reduced by your intelligence and dexterity modifier, again, whichever modifier is better. And your mental save is reduced by the better of your charisma and wisdom save. And you also subtract your level from it. So, Shira, let's give me, to do this for example, all right, your physical save. What are your modifiers for strength and constitution?
It's going to be a plus 2.
Okay.
Well, sorry, I should walk through it. I have a strength and constitution that is 12 and 18. So it would be a plus 2, the higher one. So that will be 16 minus my level minus 2.
Yep, that is correct.
That's 13, right? Yes.
No, no.
16 minus 1 minus
2. No, 15 minus 1.
Oh.
Minus 2. 15 minus 1 minus 2. So.
Oh, 12. In the Starts Without Numbers, I think it starts at 16. That's what it is in the character sheet. But I'll take the 15.
Oh, it is? Let me pull this up.
I'm pretty sure it's the same in Worlds Without Number as well, that it starts at 16.
You know what?
Yeah, 16 minus the level.
You are correct, but in the quick character notes, it says 15 minus the saving throw, and I think that's because they just automatically remove the level for you. Okay, so yes. I'm sorry. I did a screw up.
That's fine. So I get 13 on my physical save.
Now, I think Kirby either did this on his own or his sheet autofilled it for him.
No, I did it on my own.
Okay.
He's good. He can do things on his own.
I said either. I was open to the possibility.
Well, there's actually a third possibility that actually happened, and that's Lyra did mine for me.
Haha.
Oh-ho. Yeah, City Without Number sheet spells a lot of stuff out. I'm not sure how that compares to other sheets. But I assume this is right. I have a level 1, unless you want to start me a higher level sloth. And then for like physical, my best between strength and con was a plus 1. So I think that put me at 14. And I'm like 14 across the board, it seems.
Cool. So when we do a saving throw, I'm just going to say, you know, I'll give you an example. So someone throws a grenade. You need to do an evasion saving throw. You're going to roll a d20. You want the number to be higher than your saving throw number. So right now for you, evasion, anything 15 or higher, you dodge that grenade. So the equipment packages we are not going to do as part of the recording because that is a long process and, you know, we don't necessarily need, you know, we could, there can be some surprises for our listeners, you know.
Sloth, you didn't give me the final blow. I want the cool blade.
The cool blade.
The cool blade. To even things out, a cool blade.
You mean a sword?
Like, yes.
Okay, well, there are packages that give melee weapons, so... But you are going to choose your equipment packages, and then you're going to equip your character based off that. They're listed for Shira. Let's find the page. Page 25, or where your equipment packages are.
25. Oh, I'm in 63.
And for Kirby, also page 25. But Kirby also gets a ton of cyberware, which he will install on your own time. I don't think I'm restricting anything in that section. But if you have any questions, let me know. Sure. So that'll be the final touches for your character. Except one other thing. Everyone in this game gets a bonus skill. If we look in our Vanguard reference, beneath the drive where I put all the books, there is an extra chart for each of the casts. Whatever cast you pick, roll a d6, and you get a bonus skill based off of your starting cast.
Ooh, I gain another in stab. Nice.
How stabby are you now?
I'm +1 stabby.
That's pretty stabby.
Gained and perform.
Cool.
I'm gonna make the stabbiest character. I have made the stabbiest character.
Alright, well, I think that's everything. For character creation, is there anything else you want to talk about with your characters, or any questions you have for me before we wrap it up for the night?
Are we allowed to make allegiances between players?
Yes.
Okay, Lyra, do you want to make an allegiance?
Yeah, let's, yeah, totally. Sloth, I have a question. Are we allowed to betray those allegiances?
Yes.
Okay, all right, great.
I mean, there's very, you know, very few topics that you can't, you know, player actions you can't do. Obviously, some of the really taboo stuff. Again, keep it semi-family friendly, you know?
Lyra, you can betray me. I'll still love you.
I'll still love you, too, if I betray you.
And you know what? I know that.
Good.
I know you would only betray me with love. And to make a juicy story.
Heck yeah. Oh, if this allegiance thing is real, we might be beefing against Corian Wirtz.
I'm always beefing against Corey.
Yes. Okay. The Corian Wirtz, I mentioned they're both Celestials. They are actually twin brothers, and they are both part of the Psychic Academy in the setting known as the Order.
Okay. Kirby, you have an offer to join this allegiance if you want.
Counter offer. I sit on the sidelines, and I film a reality TV show based around your relationship here.
Okay, but we get 30% of the proceeds.
Deal.
That's a terrible deal.
Let's go, baby.
That's so bad.
Deal. Let's go. We got 30%.
My company is desperate right now. So I guess for listener reference, I also rolled for my company, and I rolled entertainment, and then there's like characteristics that you can roll for your company, and I rolled dwindling, so we are cleaving to some sort of, I guess, in this scenario, a dying format of a show or something like that, or product. So I'm desperate. I'll take that deal.
You're the going out of business person.
Well, I mean, it depends on who I'm talking to. Stakeholders, no, we're doing great. Yeah.
But the sales are always as if you're going out of...
Yeah.
So that is something I talked about a little bit off character, but there is a faction system in Stars Without Number, and in the second half of the campaign, we are going to be using it. Corey has agreed to run a colony, which will give him some special powers, like he can pass laws, however the other factions are free to ignore it, because, you know, they're going to be relatively as powerful as he is over time. We also have Lyra's totally not a death cult.
Small organized religion.
Kirby's company, and perhaps beyond that as well. Wirtz, I know, wanted to do a company that was based in military technology and ship manufacturing. And there will also be NPC factions as well, which will interact. You could ally with them or fight against them as you see fit. And that will drive much of the story of the second half of this campaign. And I, you know, it's a little experimental for me, but I hope it works out well, and I hope we have a lot of fun. One other thing I also want to say, I'm going to mention this in the description, but we were hacked. We weren't hacked for that long. It was for a couple of hours, and I did recover everything. And I don't think anything was done with that, but in the event that something super creepy happened, you know, if you got a bunch of weird DMs from us or... well, I apologize for that. It was not us. But everything should be fine now. And please don't do that again.
We'd really appreciate it, you, if you didn't do that. Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna. It's nothing worth stealing anyway.
No,
I
made that crappy joke. You go.
Yesterday.
Once again, you know, we don't do a whole lot of promotion for this, so I know that we are still increasing our viewership, and that's thanks largely to our audience sharing it, and I appreciate it, and I hope you continue to do so. Any weird thoughts to sign us off?
One of you asked how I was doing. I came here with lovely questions to ask all of you, and none of you, like, asked me about me?
Lyra, I was stressed because I was creating a lobster girl, okay?
keep this energy for the reality TV show, please.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I just wanted to see how that would do, like, on a camp test, and I think it would.
Yeah.
All right, good night.
Wipe your butts. What? Ended on something weird.
Hey, yeah. Think of me while you do so.
Good night.